people around the world. Take your smartphone to your Bluetooth with your earpiece on your ear. Take your iPod, your iPad with your HD display. Connect them to the cloud so your data's up to date. With your tablet in the air, play some solid game. Log into Facebook, tag a photo you can share. Tweet your plans, tweet your plans, and play some Angry Birds now. Come on, baby, tell me who's the nerd. Nerd up. Everybody say, grab your GPS and get up on your Segway. Nerd up. It's a way of the world. No matter where you are, you got a 4G signal.
It's time for the Nerd Up Podcast, and here are your pod hosts, Gil T and Christopher Wilson.
Nerd Up!
All right, here we go again with another episode of the Nerd Up Podcast. I'm Gil T Wilson.
Brandon Bell.
And I'm Sean Mitchell.
Hey, did you hear that? Sean Mitchell! That's right, if you were a fan of the True Hideaway Geeks podcast, you may recognize that stellar voice of Sean, but he took a nerd... Well, actually, didn't take a nerd hiatus. He just took a hiatus away from us.
True.
And still, I'm sure you stayed nerdy, right?
Yeah, of course. Absolutely.
Okay. That, as long as you did. But Sean is back in town for a couple of days and thought I'd jump with him and get in another podcast. And so Brandon and I have been kind of holding the fort down, of course, under a new name, but which is good.
Same
idea, same everything
Keeping
going.
Keeping it nerdy.
And Brandon's been the comic book guy in your stead, and I've been the TV guy. So now we're going to talk about nerdy things that we've done and since, and we're going to see. First of all, Sean, since you're the special guest for the day, what have you been doing this past couple few months?
It's been a bit of a roller coaster. Originally, the plan was to move to North Carolina, and I was going to be working at Best Buy there, and then the game plan, the end game goal, was to be able to transfer to Tampa, Florida. Or somewhere within the area, and work in that area for Best Buy. So once I got to North Carolina, finalized the job offer for there, was going through all the paperwork, but there was just some delays on my background checks and all that fun stuff since I'm out of the state and born outside the United States. So that was fun. And by the time that actually got cleared, I had already gotten a job offer for Tampa, Florida. So it's just like, well, there's no point now to work in North Carolina for 2 or 3 months and then shoot straight down to Tampa. So I just ended up kind of enjoying the Carolina area. Got to experience a lot of cool things. Fayetteville is very interesting. I wouldn't necessarily advise that being the vacation point if you're going to go to North Carolina. I would suggest going to Raleigh or Charlotte over Fayetteville, definitely. But... I drove, just the other day, drove all my stuff down to Tampa, which was a nice little drive. And then I drove all the way from Tampa to here in Illinois, which is another 16-hour drive. And then I have to go back, and I start work on the 28th.
Man.
So it's staying busy.
Definitely so.
And I get to work with the PC tablet department and then kind of take it from there and see where things go. And I was joking with... some people, it's not really joking because I'm completely serious, but I have to be the one person who is consciously making the decision to move to Florida and have a 2-year plan to end up back in Robinson. Who makes that decision? Like, if you're from this town, you understand, like, this town is like the town that everybody's trying to get out of. And yet here I am going to a place like Tampa, which is one of those ideal areas.
Right.
And I am consciously wanting to move back to Robinson at some point.
Well, actually, I know several people that moved to Tampa area from Robinson and have come back and gone back to Tampa and come back to Robinson. Yeah. And gone back to Tampa, back and forth for a
while. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people do that. I think there's like a local author in the area. I don't know if you know Jim Geyer.
Yeah, no, know of him, but
he's got that one rabbit hole book, mm-hmm. which, by the way, he's doing a book signing over in Palestine, I think, sometime this upcoming week. So
yeah, that's right. I heard about that. Yeah, it's at the that antiques place.
Yeah, and he lives out in Florida, and from what I understand, he kind of does the same thing where he goes back and forth. But you know, I definitely think it's always healthy for people to explore. You know, when you're young and you're single and you don't have kids, to take advantage of the ability to travel and explore new opportunities, and that's what I'm doing right now.
Well, I had an acting teacher once tell me that your goal until you get married and settle down, your goal in your life should be to experience everything you can
absolutely
in that time period.
I'm just being a sponge with everything, too. Mm-hmm. I think the biggest culture shock for me personally is that the driving, like just going from a 7,000 people area and then jumping up to an area like Tampa where you have like 7,000 people in your freaking neighborhood.
right, yeah, it's true. But yeah, and that's one thing about that, is that you're gonna have your entire community right there on your block, and one thing when you get into a big city like that, that's gonna be, when I lived in Kansas City, I'll put it like from my experience, everything you experienced was within your, maybe a 5 mile radius, mm-hmm. and everything was available there. And then I got here, and if I want to go experience something here in this town, you have to drive 20, 30 miles sometimes to find something else to do.
You really do. What's really cool is that, in comparison, I'm always like, man, I wonder, what all the other nerds are like in the other areas. And it's just cool to see how it's such a universal click. Right. So, it's almost like if you met one nerd, you've kind of met them all. In a way, there's always really unique facets about each individual, but there's definitely no, well, that kid's a small town nerd to that kid's a big city nerd. I mean, they're essentially, they've all got that unique personality, which is really cool.
Well, speaking of nerds and in a community, I don't know if you even wanted to talk about this, but I know you submitted a video.
I did.
To be on King of the Nerds for the second season.
Yes. And, I want to be on King of the Nerds. I think that'd be a really cool concept.
I think it'd fit in.
So they were doing the casting calls, and I'm actually going to do another video. The one that I submitted that's 5 minutes long is for the People's Nerd, and it's just vote-based.
Uh-huh.
So whoever gets the most votes basically gets put on. And then I'm going to do another video. It's not due till June 10th, so I'll do that then. But it was fun to make the video, and you can vote if you just...
Yeah, you got that address.
I'll put the link on there so we have something. Or you can type in King of the Nerds on Facebook, mm-hmm. go to the thing and just type in my name, and you'll find it there. So that's Sean Mitchell.
And now, and I'll put a link on the Nerd Up podcast site. The Nerd Up podcast.blogspot.com. I'll put a link there, and I'll also put a link on the Nerd Up podcast Facebook page since I got one of those created. And there should be another one. I should put it up somewhere. What about the cheese and rice?
Cheese Batman? And rice Batman.
Maybe I should put one there. Yeah. If you're looking for something unique, search out Facebook and find Cheese and Rice Batman.
It's a new thing we just started. It hasn't really taken off yet, but we're working on it.
Working on it. It's going to be one of those goofy pages. What, you explain it. You said
well,
it best.
You know, like how Facebook always has those really cool fan pages where they're posting like the 4chan pictures and the memes that are just like all comedic and satirical. It was just like, man, I could come up with some... Me and Gil, we got some clever stuff going on. We could make one of these pages. And I always find myself... Like, when somebody does something crazy or says something stupid, I'm just like, cheese and rice, Batman.
Yep.
Like, so, I was like, man, I like that. We should make a page called Cheese and Rice, Batman.
Yeah, and for the moments would make you go, cheese and rice, Batman. But another thing about that is that most of those sites that have those memes have some of the weirdest names anyway.
Yeah.
And so that one fits right in with there. So, yeah, so do a search for that and we'll put a link to Sean's... voting. Now, when's voting up for that? Do you know?
It ends on the 24th, the 25th. I think it ends the 25th. 24th is the last day that you can submit a video. So, if you want to be a King of the Nerds too, absolutely, you should definitely make a video and get on that.
But I say vote for Sean.
Vote for Sean.
Yeah. And vote often.
And yeah, you can vote once a day. It counts it for once a day. It's kind of deceiving because it'll let you keep clicking the vote over and over again, but it only counts it once per day.
Which I tried. I had like a million votes for it. But it's all within an hour.
It's the thought that counts.
So, all right. Well, let's get on to our nerd speak, nerd talk. And let's see here. What we got going on? First of all, Brandon and I covered it hard and heavy last week, Iron Man 3. Did you get to see that yet?
I have. I loved Iron Man 3,
actually. That was one of the best Iron Mans I think they made because, well, first of all, Iron Man 2. We went into it too deep, into depth last week, but Iron Man 2 was kind of a, we'll throw in a sequel. I mean, it had its moments. It was a good comic book movie. Iron Man 1, great introduction, but this Iron Man 3, I think there was something about it that just made it jump at you a little more.
It just popped, you know?
Yeah.
I like the fact that it took it really put an emphasis on Tony Stark's personality.
Yep.
Yeah. And put him on a whole different pedestal, really. One thing that I think it really put, and I've told a lot of people this, but if anything, it really showed me how much Bruce Wayne could take Tony Stark.
Oh, no.
I mean, come on. Bruce Wayne.
Come on, right.
We've had this discussion before, but Bruce Wayne is still Batman without the suit, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And Tony Stark is, he's smart, and he's, you know, he's resourceful. He's the MacGyver of technology. But you saw how vulnerable he was without his suit.
True.
Well, that's one thing I saw. There's a actually like one of those Facebook meme postings. I saw one. It said basically it was Batman Iron Man math.
Right.
Have you seen this? And basically Batman has the training, the martial arts training and everything else. Tony Stark doesn't have that.
No, I mean.
So I could agree with you.
It's
on that.
Really now in Tony Stark's defense, and we all know that I'm biased in favor of Batman.
Yeah.
And so, I will say in Tony Stark's defense, comparing those two, especially after watching Iron Man 3, is like comparing apples and oranges.
Yeah.
Because what it comes down to is we enjoy Tony Stark because of his attitude, his charisma, his energy, his dynamic that he brings to the movie industry.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas we enjoy Batman for a completely different set of reasons. So to compare those two heroes based on who's stronger isn't really fair.
Right.
Now, if you were to compare who's more enjoyable, we're going to enjoy them for different reasons.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's not really fair to say, well, Tony Stark's weaker. Of course he's weaker, but that's not why we like Tony Stark. We like him because of his attitude
exactly.
And everything he has to offer as a as an individual to the movies.
True. Well, speaking of alternate worlds, the Superman movie's coming out.
Yep.
So we'll go from the Marvel hero of Iron Man, which, by the way, at the box office, set records.
Yep.
Superman, Man of Steel, the movie coming out. I think is it this weekend or next?
No.
Am I off? Or is
no, you're
June
off.
4th?
June 14th?
13th? Is it June 14th? I thought it was the 4th.
We'll see. I went to Walmart, scored the tickets. They're showing an early premiere for June 13th, so I think it's actually later on in June.
Yeah, I think it's 14th. I'm pretty
maybe
sure.
Maybe you could get the premieres on the 13th and then the rest of everybody else.
So, you can only get a one-day advance.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty... there's a 4 in the number of the release.
Yeah.
I remember that much. That's why I was thinking the 4th. But
then
that's coming out, though. What do you guys think of that movie?
I think it's going to be interesting, especially with... What's-his-face? Batman dude. In charge.
Zack Snyder?
Yeah. Was
the who you talking about, the director?
Yeah.
Oh,
I know who you're talking about, but I don't know the name because, I didn't care. It's Batman. I mean, the thing is about it, I've heard some people say, finally, they're going to do a Superman movie right. Now, I don't know what they mean by that. It's like all the other Superman movies, I mean, they captured the essence of Superman. Sure, they got a little weird with some of the sequels.
I mean, the thing is about the Superman is you really have to distort the entire concept of what Superman's supposed to be to make it enjoyable now, because the premise of Superman is perfection, like the American dream, the idea that someone can carry the world on the back of their shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and that is just OP. If you try to make that a movie, it's completely overpowered.
Exactly.
So we have to find a way to make Superman vulnerable. And I think that's what they did with this direction.
That's probably what they mean by that, because actually they show him as being more vulnerable.
Right,
because
you have to humanize him, even though he's not human.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I always had a problem with him in the comics is, well, he always had some kind of a superpower. So he did do something, like, wow, where did he get that power? Oh, he's an alien. How can he fly?
Yeah.
He's an alien.
Yeah.
It's like,
He always has an out.
Yeah.
So, but I think they play on his emotional dynamic a lot more.
It looked it seemed like it, yeah, because there's a lot of the father-son.
Right.
Or Clark Kent. What's his father's name? Mr.
Jonathan.
Kent. Jonathan Kent. There we go. Those little thing between them in the preview. So, yeah, I think that's probably what the difference is in this one. So.
And I think the real big difference is you're going to try to move away from the 80s ones as well as the last one, Superman Returns. You know, it kept some of the...
It kept some of the 80s. Yeah, stuff. Yeah, they did. The costume looks cool, though.
Yeah, the costume. I think they did an amazing job with the trailers. They kept you so enticed by the vagueness of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you see that one scene where he's, like, handcuffed and being escorted by the military. And you're just like, are they for real? Like, so, you know, because everybody knows Superman could break out of that anytime he wanted, if he wanted to. Yeah, he's in his suit, and he's escorted. And, of course, there's no way those cuffs are made of Krypton. Okay.
Come on, the Kryptonite handcuffs, that's what's holding him.
But you got to remember, this is an origin story too, so they don't really know his weakness at this point.
True. So. Yeah, true. So yeah, you're right. This is another origin story for Superman. So that's one thing with all the Superman movies. They did one origin story, and then they'd hint on them on the others, even all the way up to Superman Returns. And this one, it's like Spider-Man and Amazing Spider-Man. They're just pretty much starting.
So how do you think are they going to tie this in with the Justice League?
I think they'd have to, because they are wanting to do a Justice League
movie. Right.
That's been determined. And I think they're pretty much, this is the Superman we get.
So how do you, because obviously the Avengers is just based around being action-packed. Now we're starting to see a little bit more of a pattern with the DC movies, that they have a deeper... darker undertone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A little more edgier.
Yeah, absolutely. And is that how the Justice League's going to be?
It might be, and which it's not a bad thing.
It is original and unique, but that's a lot of drama for an entire team.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, in an action movie, like full-fledged Avengers action movie, you don't necessarily have to focus on the development of every single character because... it's just action. The drama is almost irrelevant in an action movie when it comes to their backstories.
I think that's where DC is going to have their competition, though, is that they're going to have more of a drama to it. And I think they're going to build, because I heard rumor there's a Wonder Woman movie coming out.
Sometime. Right, right.
Yeah.
And so I think that's the way they're going to do it. That kind of like the Avengers did. Now, the Avengers movie did throw us Hawkeye and Scarlet. Scarlett Johansson, Black Widow, there we go. So they threw those characters at us, like, okay, we already know them.
Right, right.
They're here. But, I mean, Thor had a movie, Iron Man had a movie, Captain America had a movie, Hulk had a movie, even though they replaced the actor with the Ed Norton movie version of him. And so I think DC, they're going to have more of a drama, but... they're also still building. And now, if they use the Dark Knight Batman, then definitely they're going to have to go with that.
Cause... I mean, I have heard so much speculation on the Batman. Like, as far... they're talking about, like, bringing a completely new Batman, like, that's not Bruce Wayne, as Batman. I'm like, I don't know if that'll... I don't know if you could really justify. Like, I could honestly see Batman not even being part of the Justice League and just making, like, some sort of cameo appearance or... Robin being part of the Justice League.
Could be Nightwing.
Yeah, I mean, like, because, you know, Batman is that iconic figure. It could theoretically, you know, play into them because the idea is that Batman didn't want to be part of the Justice League, right?
Right.
So he doesn't really necessarily even have to be in this movie.
True. True. Mm-hmm. Although, for a fan base, it's like, oh, that'd be cool if he was, you know?
It would. I mean, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people mildly disappointed. But I think, to an extent, if you're a hardcore Batman fan and you don't bring in the Dark Knight Batman, you're going to be even more upset.
Yeah. True. True that. Well, and the thing is that DC, for the Justice League, they've got so many heroes to choose from.
Right. They really do.
Including Apache Chief. They could throw him in.
Well, you know, you spoke of the drama. I mean, you got to realize that a lot of the Justice League stuff was based around drama, though. I mean... They did have the formula kind of mixed up.
I mean, I just feel like to do that in the form of a movie is going to really spread them out as far as character development for one movie. Like, you're going to have to make the Justice League a full-fledged trilogy that does one villain just to hit home with every single character.
Yeah. Well, that's one thing with the Marvel building up to the Avengers. at the end of every origin story movie,
right?
They have those little teaser trailers.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they would do that with JLA too.
I wonder if they'll, because that would be the best. I mean, even though it might be stealing the idea from Marvel, but still, that was a great way for Marvel to say, hey, look, this is what's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So, we'll see what happens with it. I'm psyched, actually, because I want to see a good Superman movie made. The first one with Christopher Reeve was awesome for its time.
Yep.
You look back at it now, it's kind of comical.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But, you know, at the time, it's like, hey, we got a superhero movie. And that's all in all. I don't care if it's DC, Marvel, Top Cow. Heck, throw in some Image Comics. As long as there's a superhero, as long as there's a comic book movie made, I'll go see it.
I'm the same way. Sucker for the comic book movies.
Yeah. And they will have their action. They will. I mean, it took 8 years for Batman to come back and have the action from the last movie, but, you know, they still have their action eventually. Let's see. Now, speaking of another movie, another nerdy movie, Star Trek opened this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did any of you guys see it yet?
I haven't. I'm going to see it tomorrow, Tuesday, at IMAX.
Even better. I can't get anybody to go see that with me, and I've been mentioning that I want to go see this movie. It's just, I have to go see this movie. I'm a Trekkie. But nobody wants to see it.
I'll go with you.
All right, we'll get... Okay, finally. Nobody in my family. My son? No, I don't want... That's stupid.
Your son's starting to disappoint me a little bit.
I know, right?
I mean, I've been hearing you talk a little bit about Isaac, and I'm going to go ahead and call him out here, but if you're going to... Right now, Isaac, I mean, if you want to be a nerd, you're either going to have to start watching these movies or start playing football. Choose one or the other.
You're going to have to branch out your nerdiness. It can't just be all Steam-based games. So, yeah, that's all he does. That's just Steam games. And actually, if you asked me to list the games he plays, there would be Team Fortress 2.
And Minecraft.
Minecraft and Left 4 Dead. And then there's also Gary's Mod, where you can create your own world on Steam. So it's like, it's limited. You need to open your eyes. I'm hoping the Star Wars things, when they come out, when Disney takes over with them, maybe that'll help him. At least he'll be a Star Wars person. But either way, you're right.
I'm kind of
glad you called him on
there.
On the Star. But on the Star Trek, I want to see it only because I want to see what Benedict Cumberbatch is, his character. I want to see what his character is. It's such a mystery, and I know there's people that have already seen it that are listening to this podcast. Well, hey, it's easy. I know what it is, but I don't yet. I haven't seen the movie, but I don't think a lot of people when they first introduced him as the character, he played Sherlock Holmes on the BBC miniseries Sherlock, and he was awesome. He played Sherlock Holmes as an Asperger syndrome person.
Hmm.
Great way to do it.
Right.
Great. It was perfect. Now, all the teasers, they kept saying, like, past episodes of Star Trek, who this character could be. I don't think it's going to be related to any past character. I think it's just a brand new character, and I think, you know, that's the way these reboots are. It's like, I think they're all... The first one, there was nothing... I mean, sure, you had the Klingons. Sure, you had... But there was not based on any story that was in the Star Trek line.
Right.
So I think that's the way this one is, too. So I hope I'm right. So Brandon and I are going to go see it sometime today. You get to see it in IMAX?
I think so. I mean, because I have to go to Indy to get on my plane.
Mm.
So I think I'm going to go early and make my last day in the Midwest something a little worthwhile. And
definitely
Star Trek would be a good way to end.
That would be awesome on a big IMAX. I would love to go see that on IMAX. We might have to find that out. Is that or stuck here at the Eagle Theater in Robinson?
Hey, we love our Eagles, though.
Hey, they've actually ramped up their definition.
Oh, yeah, their equipment is now like Sony definition, which is really... You could definitely see the difference.
Mm-hmm. I saw they have the real 3D.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's real 3D.
And I went and saw... Iron Man 3, there we go, I just saw that. Anyway, Iron Man 3 in the real 3D. And there were moments when I'm like, I didn't even realize I was wearing the glasses.
Right.
I didn't realize, I mean, I'm in like, this is, and it's real. And sure, things came at me. And at that moment, I'm like, oh yeah, it's 3D. But for the most part, it was a perfectly realistic.
And
so
that's what me and the wife seen it into. And I was just like, awe at how much clarity it had.
Yeah, so, okay, yeah, you're right. I won't badmouth the Eagle Theater. Well, I never do. They got great deals. But especially the night when you can bring your own tub to put popcorn.
Oh, yeah.
I like that. They don't like my 30-gallon trash bag. But anyway, so let's see. What other movies coming out? This is like the summer of superhero movies. You got Wolverine, or The Wolverine, I should say.
I see
that. Which to me is like a meh, because I never was a fan of X-Men.
I was always a Wolverine fan,
though. Yeah, if I had to, it would be Wolverine. But this story, the preview, the trailer just didn't appeal to me.
Not yet.
Yeah, maybe they'll have more that'll come out that'll do that. Because, well, the first Superman didn't.
I just really wish they would branch out a little bit more on their Marvel heroes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I mean, let's face it, Gambit is a fan favorite.
Yeah, I love Gambit. Yeah.
And we got cheated out of Gambit in so many titles. Like, there's been so many X-Men titles out now, and there's only been one little cameo.
Very small role, yeah.
And I'm like, really? Like, you're not going to play on this? Like, it's a profitable character. Come on, people.
He's a lovable Cajun with the cool powers of blowing things up.
In the last Wolverine movie, I don't even think he had the accent.
Yeah, it's like a very, well, so small you couldn't tell. Yeah. But, well, Gambit, and then there's also their other, I mean, Silver Surfer, they touched on him in the Fantastic Four.
They got to redo that. They're going to have to reboot that or something.
That's got to be rebooted. There's a whole bunch of flaws with that. There's a couple others. Well, of course, they have to do Silver, or redo the Fantastic Four because, well, Captain America, you know. He's now, you know, Captain America, not Johnny Storm. But anyway, there's so many characters they can choose from. In fact, if you play the Marvel Avengers Alliance game, there's hundreds of characters to choose from. The Wolverine, that movie's coming out. We've got, is it the Captain America movie coming out? Or is it the Thor movie's coming out this summer? That's right. Which actually looks pretty good from the teasers I've seen on that one. So the Thor, the Dark World, that ought to be good. So let's see here. So it's another summer blockbuster. We'll have to see. And we'll be talking about those movies as we progress through the summer and get to watch them all. But I guess there is one point of being branching out for Marvel. Upcoming, I saw this a list of movies that they're planning for the next 3 or 4 years. One of them is Guardians of the Galaxy,
which is
a pretty cool run of characters. My favorite out of that group is Rocket Raccoon. He's a talking human-sized raccoon. I mean, you can't go wrong with that. Yeah. Then they also have Ant-Man coming out, which I think the reason they're doing Ant-Man is because I think it was back when they were doing all the studio talks and the contract talks with Iron Man, with Robert Downey Jr., that in case Iron Man didn't come back, Ant-Man could be the replacement, the next smart guy. So, because they always need a smart guy in a bunch. And I think Ant-Man, Hank Pym, would be the one. And so they got a plan for that movie coming out. So we'll see. We'll see how much further they can branch out. But they need to do more.
Did you see... there's an official trailer now for Ender's Game.
Yes, I saw that.
So that's exciting.
When is that coming out?
I don't think it's... I want to say sometime in 2014.
Is it okay? Okay.
Or either that or late 2013. So it's still a little ways away. And recently, there's just... Orson Scott Card's been taking so much flack because he made his opinion on gay rights known that he doesn't support gay rights.
Oh.
And, you know, when you have something... And let's be honest, like, nerds are typically more liberal.
Right, definitely.
So, the huge controversy, now all these nerds have always loved Orson Scott's work.
Right.
And then they find out this political, personal belief that he has against gay rights. And, you know, it stirred so much controversy. My personal opinion is that, you know, I really don't care what his belief is.
Yeah.
I mean, I love his literature.
Right.
And that's what it really comes down to. And if you're going to stop enjoying his content because of his personal stance on things, then you've got the bigger issue than what he does.
Because he doesn't write about his political rights.
He doesn't put that in there. He's not saying, well, I wrote this book specifically for straight people.
Right.
You know,
there's nowhere in any of those books
that even comes out, I don't think it's fair. I don't really know how it came up where he would have started talking about gay rights, but I really don't see the relevance between the two ideas or whatever. You know, enjoy the books. Let him do his thing. Let's all have open minds.
Now, if he wrote a book about gay bashing, sure, I wouldn't read that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
but I'm not going to stop enjoying one of my childhood favorite books.
Yeah, all those,
because he doesn't like gay rights.
Formic War books are just freaking awesome. And absolutely.
But I'm definitely excited about that.
And I'm curious how they're going to put that into a movie. That's a lot of concepts to put into a movie.
Well, and there were so many things that... What the issue with it before was, well, how are you going to put this in the form of a movie because, you know, there's that scene where, you know, Ender's, like, naked in the shower and gets beat up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they said that the screen, to put it into a screenplay was just too ambitious
mm-hmm.
back in the day,
mm-hmm.
which I never thought it was. I was like, if you can do Star Wars, you know, you surely can do Ender's Game. But, but I mean, that was the problem.
Yeah. Oh, don't worry, keep going.
But, and then the other thing, and I put this on your Facebook, but Stephen King's Cell is being converted to a movie.
Oh, well, it's a miniseries.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm thinking Under the Dome. That's a miniseries. Yeah, Cell. Yeah.
So.
It's timely because the zombies are popular right now.
Right. So that's exciting.
That one's going to be, I think it's going to be kind of fun because mm-hmm. it's a different take on zombies. And they can actually be cured of their zombieism, I think, by the end of the movie or end of the book. So I think it's timely because of that.
Speaking of being cured of zombieism or whatever, Warm Bodies comes out. Have you seen that one yet?
No, it's coming out on DVD, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I haven't watched it yet.
No, I kept thinking of that one as the Twilight
of
zombies.
It does, yeah, me too. But like at the same time, you know, when you read the plot line on paper, it is an original idea because the whole concept of starting as a zombie and then working your way back to being human
mm-hmm.
through relationships is kind of an interesting concept because, you know, a lot of people in a symbolic way kind of deal with that on a daily basis.
True. Well, like me, like I've now got a new job where I'm working daytime, so
yeah.
I'm having to come out of my zombie state and
interact with people.
And, yeah, it's like, there's people in this world? So, I don't know. Like I said, that one just struck me as the Twilight of Zombies. If a friend of mine were to rent it or buy it and let me watch it with them, maybe I'll watch it. So it just didn't strike me at the time.
Right.
So we'll see. Maybe it might grow on me. But you're right. The concept behind it, I think, was pretty interesting. But let's talk about TV shows now. Let's move over to TV. Sean, you and I are actually in the same place, which is a rarity. Normally, I was like 3 weeks ahead of Sean on TV watching, but we're actually on the same place in Arrow. And what do you think of the season so far? They got renewed for another season.
Yeah, I saw that. I was actually on my drive to North Carolina, or to Florida from North Carolina. I got to hear an interview with the main guy, Steven something or other. It was really cool hearing how he got started with Arrow. And his progress, because he had been kind of on a hiatus as far as his acting career was concerned,
mm-hmm.
and then he just stumbled over Arrow, and then he had, for the season finale, he actually, and now I'm curious to see it, but during one of the scenes, he injures himself, I was like, I'll watch for it, and just so you know, what it is, it's not really a spoiler, don't worry, but he jumps on a tank.
Okay.
And apparently he hurt his ankle, you know.
And he acted right through it then.
Right.
Wow, cool.
I believe so. So that's interesting. He didn't want to have a stunt double. So for the entire season finale, he does all his own stunts. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. But as far as the series progression on its own, you know, I'm pretty content with it. I'm probably kind of biased, but I wish they would have brought Roy into it more by now.
Right.
Because I keep waiting for it. I'm like, when's he going to like do something? When's he going to save Arrow or something?
Well, that's all the side characters, Black Canary, Speedy, all these guys, they've hinted at him.
Right.
And even more so with Roy, with Speedy, it's like, oh, any day now they're going to have
Right. Well, because Roy's like, I want to find him. I want
right.
to figure out who this is. And he's getting closer, and I don't know if like the next three episodes are going to touch base with this or not, but I certainly hope so.
Yeah.
And I know that there's already other viewers out there who have seen the next three episodes, and we haven't, so we're kind of out of the loop on that.
Yeah.
Just way out of the loop, period.
I want to watch it. I've seen the pilot. That's about all I've seen.
I've got it for you. I mean, like...
Yeah, because it's a great scene. They do a great job copying DC Comics. Now, they are sticking with their whole philosophy of no superpowers,
right?
Yeah.
Which I hate that. I mean, but with Arrow, you don't really need superpowers.
No. So, do you tie Arrow into the Justice League or not?
That's a good point. They should.
Well, see, this is my problem with doing that though. we've got Arrow, who's Oliver is a very young, young character. I mean, so how will his dynamic, because he's mature for his age now, he's grown up a lot. So I would say maturity wise, he's on the same level as, you know, Bruce or Superman to an extent. But when you literally throw him into the same cast as those two superheroes, are you going to be able to take him seriously?
Well, look at it this way. Hawkeye, he doesn't really... He's got... His, the only thing his power is his arrows.
Right.
And look, he's in there with a god and the guy that changes shape. And let's see. Well, let's see.
Super soldier.
Super soldier, yeah. So
but
they can work it.
But appearance-wise, he looks the same age as them.
True. Yeah.
So as far as like a viewing perspective, Oliver is just a teenager. I personally think they would have better luck putting Oliver into a Young Justice League.
Sure.
Yeah, but I think they could work it. Because given time, I mean, they haven't even started filming it yet.
Right.
Given time, we'll have maybe a couple more seasons of Arrow.
Yeah.
Maybe he can even age more and more. And you know the actor's going to get older looking.
Right.
So, it could go either way. It could go either way on that. So that I think they might. Well, like, the TV series Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be completely different, but it's still going to tie in with the Avengers movies. Right. I know it. And so maybe that's a good way to keep wrapping around TV and movies. Maybe they can still do it after a couple of seasons of Arrow. He can mature, look older, and become a member of the Justice League.
My only question on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. How the heck did Coulson live?
I know. I think that's an ongoing joke.
I think it will be. I think it will be. Well, see, the whole thing, if you ever watch The Ultimate Spider-Man on Disney XD, the animation, Agent Coulson is in charge of Spider-Man and his group. And it's the same guy that did the actor does the voice on that. And I'm like, wait a minute. Does this take place before the Avengers or after the Avengers? It's still Agent Coulson and S.H.I.E.L.D. But I don't know. Now the TV series, they have that one scene where it's like Agent Coulson. What I know about Agent Coulson is he died, blah blah blah, and then now welcome to level 7, and it's like holy cow. So yeah, and well, good tie in though into the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. What do you guys think of that series going to be coming out?
I honestly don't know that much about this one. So I mean,
it's going to be interesting. I did not get to see. There's Item 42 or something like that. It was like a little bit that was on the DVDs, a little short movie on the DVDs that I think that's going to tie into that aspect. No superheroes.
Yeah.
It's all going to be agents, but they're going to have cool tools.
Yeah, it's cool. Definitely.
So, from what I can buy into it. The trailer, though, you do see one guy with a superpower. I mean,
That's what it is. People suddenly getting superpowers, and they're there to wrangle them up to either recruit them for Avengers or put them away.
So it's the other side of heroes.
Yeah.
I never thought of it that way. That's a good point. So, yeah, and that's what it is.
Or alphas, for that matter.
Maybe that could lead up into more members of the Avengers movies.
True.
So, yeah, or alphas, yeah. So, who knows? I think it's going to be an interesting concept. They're hunting down people with powers. And if they're good, they go to here. If they're bad, or like that guy that you and I talked about before, Sean, in one of our podcasts, that writes his own superhero books.
Yeah.
That's all of a sudden everybody gets powers, and there's an agency for good, agency for. Oh, what was the name of this guy? I can't think of his name now. Kevin Rao. There we go. Kevin Rao. He's got a series of books out that all of a sudden everybody gets powers. And you get divided, good or bad. So I think that's what Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to be, is that they're the deciding point. They're like the sorting hat at Hogwarts. You know?
Slytherin. As far as other TV shows are concerned, have you been keeping up at all with Revolution?
Nope. I'm proud to say nope. Have you?
Well, like I said, I've been on a TV hiatus since I got back here. But I did watch, I have been keeping up with it to an extent. Really, my opinion is unchanged on it. It's just one of those things where it's when it's on TV. My two roommates in North Carolina love it, so I tend to watch it whenever they are. But there was some interesting plot twists in it as far as the characters are concerned.
Mm-hmm.
But that's really the only strength that they have going on is their character development, the transformation that a lot of the characters go through. You know, on one hand, you've got the girl who is becoming harder and colder, and then you have Miles, who's started out cold and is starting to become softer, and you have them kind of going in the opposite direction from what they were before. And then you see the relationships that kind of intermingle with each other with different characters. And that's really the only strong strength that they have going on. The overall storyline and the overall acting is still very mediocre, in my opinion.
Right. That's what my problem was. Acting mediocre. Storyline, I thought it was even less than mediocre because there was like, okay, they don't have power, but somebody has control and able to get the power. I don't know. Just didn't. But yeah, I just gave up on it. So, but TV show Supernatural. I just finally got to watch. Thank goodness for DVRs. That's all I got to say. But I finally got to watch the season finale for Supernatural. And I can't. I'm not going to try to. I'm trying not to say much because Brandon, you haven't seen it.
I have not seen it. I've got it recorded.
You're gonna okay. Well, basically, the whole thing is they were trying to shut the gates of hell, and also they found out they could shut the gates to heaven. Well, gates of hell, gates to heaven. That means, hey, we humans will be all alone. Well, it turns out to be. I can't say it. I can't say it without giving a spoiler. But I will tell you this. The season finale, they realized where their errors were. Sam and Dean do. And I will say that it looks like Castiel becomes human. And I will say that at the very end of the show, it's like a super cliffhanger. So there better be another season. But it's like you're just going to sit there and stare at the screen and go, what? That's exactly.
Come on, you
know, it's just on. And it's a finale that's just phenomenal. So they really work up to it. And of course, the season finale they did like their other season finales is they had the Kansas "Carry On My Wayward Son" as the theme. I love that aspect of it. Every season finale they have that on there, and they recap the whole season. So that's just, I crank up the TV when that comes on.
Did you ever watch Defiance?
Defiance, yes, yeah. I'm in that now.
And I started watching it.
So I'm equally behind on that as far as a couple episodes is concerned, but what do you think of the concept?
I love the concept. It's basically a Western in the future.
Right, absolutely.
I think it's pretty neat. I mean, I'm DVRing it as well,
yep.
But I have watched like the first few episodes, and I really love it.
I do have one issue with it, the Gateway Arch. If all the rest of St. Louis is underground in that mine, how is the arch still there?
Of all things.
Yeah. Plus, if you watch it episode by episode, there are certain parts of the arch that are missing each time that are. They'll be there in one and they'll be gone in the next.
Maybe it's like the Eiffel Tower, where it's always. It's never finished because they're always rebuilding it.
Oh, yeah.
So as soon as the bottom's done, well, the top needs worked on again. And once they get
okay.
the top done, the bottom.
Yeah. I mean, maybe, but there's a kid that's broadcasting, I guess, a pirate radio station at the top of the arch. Uh-huh. He's the what's the race with the white hair? It's their son. He's broadcast. He's pirate radioing from the arch. That's kind of a cool concept.
My thing with the series is there. I mean, first off, it's basically, in my opinion, Farscape meets Firefly.
Good point. Yeah.
So. In a sense, I don't really see it that original. I do think it is original. The whole intermingling with a game is really cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great concept, yeah.
What I think... I'm trying to figure out whether this is a gimmick or whether it's going to be legitimate long term. So, the thing I don't like about Defiance is that there aren't really any characters that are standout-ish. There is not a single lovable girl that every sci-fi has to keep nerds enticed.
I don't know. I like that mayor.
She's all right, but
that was Dexter's wife in the Dexter series.
Yeah, and that's one thing that I have like conflicting views of because I'm so used to her in Dexter.
Yeah,
that it's difficult for me to take her seriously in this. But there's not kind of that whole badass girl. You know, let's take a look at Firefly. Cool, we have her. Terminator.
Yeah, Summer Glau, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, every series always has a girl that's attractive and edgy and kind of has their own little badass role.
What about the Orange Air Alien girl?
You know, I'm not into aliens.
What? What? Yeah, well, I guess you're right. If you're not into aliens, then... Well, there is also the brothel, the madam of the brothel.
Yeah, I do find her attractive.
But she's with the law keeper, so...
And I don't want to sound like there has to be a nerdy... Or not nerdy, but a female protagonist that is absolutely sexy and has that going on to make a series.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just saying that most sci-fi series tend to have at least one girl in there who has a depth about her and is you just buy into her personality, her mystery, and all that fun stuff. And there's not that in Defiance yet.
I think when you see the latest episode, I know you're a couple episodes behind. If you see the latest episode, the mayor kind of comes out of that, and I think she'll break into that shell for you, because the last episode she really had a stronger point, and she really did some really cool stuff in this. It's an episode. Yeah, I don't think you've seen it, the one where they got kidnapped.
Okay.
No. Okay. Good. Yeah. When you see that episode, she comes out and it's like she's really becomes a strong character in that one. So, I'm just liking the idea with. Now here's what got me when the season first came on. I thought for sure that we're gonna see like this whole war going on, yeah, and then you know the aliens arriving, war going on. But no, they jumped right in. Like, okay, you already know the story, even though we really don't.
Right.
Yeah. And they're slowly hinting at little parts of it. But I like that because we didn't have to have a big build up before the action started.
And I do like their choice of music.
Generally. Oh, right, yeah.
Every episode really has, or that I've seen so far, has like a unique song at the very beginning. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, they did that. That's cool. I see what you did there.
Yeah. It was at the beginning and the end. And at the beginning of the one that I was just mentioning, they come out with, I can't think of the name of the band, but Ride Captain Ride is the name of the song. And that started, I'm like, that's a classic 70s hit. What are they doing with that? And they had a Bob Dylan ending one of a newer Bob Dylan song.
Yeah, they do cover, like they change it. I'm like, that's unique.
Yeah, and they did the cover of the Nirvana,
yeah,
Smells Like Teen Spirit.
I'm like, oh, it's kind of like taking a piece of history and putting it into the future.
Yep. Yeah. And so they do some interesting stuff with the music. I'm really liking the music, the soundtrack, if they ever offer a soundtrack for
And self. Then you have the beginning, like the theme song is Imagine Dragons,
mm-hmm,
which
mm-hmm.
is cool. And I'm like, oh yeah, I recognize that song.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So yeah, they're that Imagine Dragons song's everywhere too. By the way,
I think it was wasn't it the trailer for The Host as well.
It might have been. I know it was for Assassin's Creed 3.
So
yeah. So it's like all over the place. Those guys are making some money off that song. So that's a good song though. So yeah, The Defiance. I think they're going to go places with it. They've got a great concept, and I think they're going to go all sorts of great places with it. So I think. Give it time if you're not happy yet. And then again, Sean, you need to catch up on the latest episode.
Yeah, I want to check out the game to it.
The game? I really do, too.
I played a little bit of the game.
Oh, have you?
And are we transitioning to the game
soon? Sure, well, let's make it a game transition. I want to hear about this game first.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't played it a lot because, like any game in the beginning stage, it's very laggy.
Uh-huh.
So I was timing out all the time. It was really annoying. And one thing that I haven't really gotten to experience yet, like I said, I didn't play the game in depth. So I'm still curious about how, because Microsoft has it so that the 360 and the PC can play together.
Huh. Really?
Neat. So I'm like, how is that, you know, possible? Because the person on the PC is always going to have a combat advantage.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, yeah, I mean, they got more controls.
Yeah, so I was like, how's that going to work? And using a 360 controller, in comparison, is like bowling with bumper rails.
Right.
So I'm just like, I don't, you know, whatever. But I played it on console, and the graphics were nice. Like I said, it was just frustrating because the lag was just horrendous.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm, you know, hoping that within time, you know, that gets panned out and taken care of. But overall, I mean, they did a really good job as far as, like, the races and everything and making that look like the TV show. They did an amazing job.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, that's one thing. I show the graphics, well, at least for the commercials for it, they show the graphics as being really, really nice graphics for, at least for the live cuts
right.
that they're going to do through the game. So, looks like, I don't know. I like the way they're going to tie it in, so... That's one thing that makes that game. But right. I don't know. Well, since we did change into games here, Marvel Avengers Alliance. See, Sean was so anti-Marvel, but now you got Brandon and I, and Brandon and I love the game, so...
Yeah.
Sean, you just need to play it more. You need to get past... I think you're level 3 on there. You need to get past level 3.
Awesome.
It's and get over the fact that you're not playing... that it's not a Facebook game.
Mm-hmm.
It's something else, but they just... or they're getting... Well, have 15 days, I think, left of the Spec Ops 9 at the time of this recording, and I've already got Extremis. I got... I finally... I told you I was just kind of farming for that weapon in the or the epic boss, the Second Amendment. Or is that, yeah, Second Amendment is the name of the weapon. It's really cool because it affects all enemies, and you use that weapon, and a SR-71 jet flies over and bombs everybody. It's the coolest graphic I've seen on this game. So it's pretty cool. Anyway, so they're getting ready to do that. And... You pointed it out to me, Brandon. They're getting ready to start season 2 with this. Well, hopefully soon.
Soon, yeah.
They teased us with saying soon, because I'm almost done with all the chapters, 5-starring every single chapter and everything. So they need to get another one. So far I've got every recruitable hero, including Magneto, Omega Sentinel, Phantom X, and I just need Mockingbird. And then the latest Spec Ops reward, which was, Shatterstar. Mm-hmm. So I haven't even got him, but, I'll get him.
I'm on the last 2 tasks for Rescue, so.
Oh, nice. You still got 15 days to do it, so you can do it.
I really need the ISOs right now. I've only got, like, 14 ISOs.
Well, the one thing I found out, I realized yesterday, I have 32 allies. I did not realize I had that many. I knew that it would take me a time to get through... But that helped me build up ISO because you can. You know, when they started instituting ISO with your allies, that really helped. And I think I get like 30 ISOs a day just from that.
Yeah.
So that's a cool thing. So you just need to, and you need to win that roulette, get the 1,000 ISO. That's what got me.
Yeah, I know. I need to. I'm trying.
So, but you can't really choose there. So.
I know.
But let's see. But that's about the only game that I really play anymore. Sean was always the gamer. He was always he's the one that always surprised us with so basically Sean was the one that got me back into gaming actually got me into Magic. Well, he tried.
I haven't gotten to play Magic in a long time actually.
I haven't played it in a long time either.
I mean, I would love to, but I just don't have the time available at this time.
Well, you're in the middle of a transition, so we can forgive you.
You would think that I would. I actually had a lot of free time in North Carolina because I wasn't, I was just kind of coasting until I moved to Florida. So you would think I would have spent more time on Magic, but I really didn't. I actually spent all my time playing League of Legends.
League of Legends, yeah. Mm.
Which was a new game for me, actually. I mean, I had played a long time ago, and then when I got to North Carolina, my 2 roommates really played it and got me into it. And at the time that I had originally started years ago, there wasn't a metagame for it. So when I started playing, all of a sudden you have certain roles. So your entire team... is going to go top. You've got one person who goes top lane, you have a jungler, you have a mid lane, you have a bottom lane. So that was an interesting experience for me to adjust to because I had to go through this whole phase of being a noob, and I was like, oh my gosh.
I've been playing some of that.
So. Yeah, I mean, it's addictive. The thing that I like about League of Legends is just the fact that it doesn't require a full-fledged commitment as much as, Guild Wars 2 or WoW. You're leveling up a character and you're committed to that character the entire time, and if you don't log on every day, you're kind of cheating your character. Whereas with League of Legends, it's basically round after round after round, and you're leveling up your profile, you're not leveling up your character, and you play a different champion every day.
You can play a different champion. It's a level up on the fly. I mean, I like it. It's fun. I haven't played it for about a month or two right now.
But. Yeah, the thing that they're making interesting is they keep introducing new characters, new champions. Most recently, they released Lissandra, which I haven't gotten to play her yet. And then before that, they introduced Zac, who's really cool. His character... He can go either top lane, he's really strong top lane, he's really strong in jungle, But what I like about him is when he dies, he has this ability to melt back together.
Yeah, big goo blob is what he is.
So, but yeah, League of Legends, very addictive overall. And it's nothing new. This game's been around for quite some time, and it's completely free to play. What's funny is it's free to play, but I find myself spending money on it for new skins. And I'm like, why? You know, why? Oh, my God, why am I...
But you have the option, though. To have to.
I'm like, that's clever marketing, though. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Riot Games, you're on your you're on the ball. I mean, like, to buy accessories for the game to make your experience more enjoyable, is, you know. And the thing is, like, you're buying things, but they're not advantages. They don't give you an edge against other players.
Well, actually, didn't you say that the new DC was like League of Legends? There's a new DC game that's just like
Crisis.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about that. Have you played any of the beta yet?
Oh, yeah. I've been playing every time it's open. It's got me hooked.
So, basically, Brandon got into the beta version of Infinite Crisis, which is a DC version of League of Legends. So, I think you should check this one out.
Oh, yeah. There's two Batman on it right now. Two different ones.
Really?
Yeah. One is Gaslight Batman. He's more range. He's got, like, two little sonic pistols.
Well, I guess with League of Legends, that's our cue to end, because actually we have run out of time. We all need to get places. I know I got to get places. And Sean, you're getting ready to go to
I'm getting to Tampa. Florida. Yeah.
So you're going to get a good tan when you get there?
Yeah, because that's what I need.
Yeah, totally.
So I could see you on the beach. I recommend that you buy one of those Borat swimsuits. Hang out in Tampa.
I'll do some justice for that.
Okay.
Yeah. This is my new Facebook profile picture. Right
there. It's a sexy time. So, but anyway, so that's pretty much going to have to do it for this episode of the podcast. Once again, you can tweet me at Gil Wilson, and you can still tweet Sean
at Sean Stoppable,
and you can still get a hold of Brandon. You got a Twitter? I never asked you that.
Get on it.
Yeah, I do.
But you don't know what it is. We went through several before Sean realized what his was. So, anyway.
I don't know off the top of my head, but
I
check it at least once a day.
All right, you have to check that out. But anyway, also don't forget nerduppodcast.blogspot.com. You can subscribe via iTunes. Tell all your friends. Also, check us out on Facebook, because that's where you're going to find the updates so you can vote on Sean's video for King of the Nerds. So, all right. Well, that does it for the Nerd Up podcast. I'm Gil T. Wilson.
All right. Ooh, go ahead.
I'm Sean Mitchell.
I'm Brandon Bell.
Stay nerdy. Nerd Up.
www.gilwilson.com. If you need quality voice work for your radio commercials, audio for TV commercials, or maybe just for that message on hold for your business, you need to check out www.gilwilson.com. GILWILSON.com. www.gilwilson.com. Check it out. It's quirky. It's fun. It's innovative.